That's what is it? So there's like a clip in a rap song I like that's like a dude explaining the difference between the sublime experience. There has to be an element of clear and present danger, and the example that the guy gives in the song is being smothered to death by Kim Kardashian's butt cheeks. And I haven't read that much philosophy, so I've just kind of taken this with me. I've just kind of decided, I'm like, yeah, that's what that is.
The ultimate stoic.
Yeah, I'm like, Kim Kardashian's what that butte. Is. Yeah, or no, I think that's like a Schopenhauer thing, right? Is he the guy who talked about sublime something? I've got a T-shirt with a Sublime logo on it. I think they're a pretty good band.
Yeah, for sure. I had the poster.
Are we doing an intro or
I don't know.
What is this?
I don't know.
I don't even think we should do an intro.
This means war. It's Bitcoin. It's war.
All is fair.
Tell me about the Comic Accords,
should we
man?
Talk about that? It's wartime Bitcoin.
It's wartime.
It's wartime Bitcoin. There's Bitcoin. There's war. I don't know. You get the picture.
There's time.
It's time.
There is always time.
There's always it's a time. It's a time.
This is
going to
be a sloppy rip. I can already tell.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Let's do an intro just to like start us off. We need momentum.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to How Many Podcast.
Welcome.
Yeah, we have two guests.
Welcome to the War Room
for the first time ever. High quality mic setup. We're all on the mic. We have with us people who will introduce themselves by their real names or their noms de guerre, as it might be. Yeah, who do we have with us?
Mr. Gare? What was that?
Your nom de guerre.
Mr. Gare. Nice to meet you. No, Mark Goodwin here.
Known spook. Mark Goodwin.
Known spook. Yes. Paychecks come from Langley. Excited to be here. Excited to fight. I like war. All is fair in it, which is the thing I like the most about it.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to be here. What's going on?
I didn't think of a name before this, so I'm going to go with, I'm Telly. Let's go with that.
Nice.
I don't know. And I'm on a podcast.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. We're at war.
I mean, the world is at war.
The world really. Is at war.
Economic war, spiritual war.
Oh, God. There's a war for your mind.
Yeah. It's karmic war. It's chaos.
Mm-hmm. And we're gathered here to just sort of spurg out about
that.
We want to
hash it out. We want to know what's going, where we are.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a subject I kind of wanted to cover first. It was a thing that right before we hit record, Bitcoin as a DARPA project. Yeah, you were kind of saying something about
that,
Mr. Gare.
Well, I would say this first and foremost, like at the top, I think the beautiful thing about Bitcoin is that it really doesn't matter who made it. So I think what it is what it is, and we should treat it like that. And so any speculation as to where it came from is like it's very secondary to the actual protocol, right?
Sure.
Just to be very, very clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the way I look at the current situation, it's like there's an absolute possibility that Bitcoin was created for exactly the situation to create a demand instrument that could balance out the inflation of the dollar.
How does that work?
Well, this sort of idea of like the petrodollar being the, you know, the energy system that, you know, we force people to buy dollars to buy petrol.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing is kind of happening with the dollar. We're seeing, you know, tonight even, it might have already even happened and we didn't even look, but like world currencies are just like collapsing against the dollar as interest rates raise and it strengthens against all these relative currencies. The dollar has all the leverage over the world right now, but it's over leveraged against itself. So eventually it is going to collapse in on itself. It has to mathematically. And when that happens, where is that access valve of liquidity going to go into a protocol or an asset that has a capped supply and more importantly, a capped issuance? And so Bitcoin kind of appears out of the mess of what we're about to go through, which is all kind of downstream of rates and resets the universal rate of inflation for money in this ideal way. In a way that actually sort of preserves the dollar as like the currency, as Bitcoin is the money. And right now, people are using the dollar as money and not as currency, which is actually bad for the dollar.
This relies on some. You're using money and currency in some like very specific way.
Yeah.
Not. I mean, usually they're interchangeable, right? Money and currency.
Right. I mean, I would say people are now literally grabbing dollars and holding on to them because they're generating more interest. And so you're using it as this, you know, store of value in this way versus like, you know, I want to spend this fast or use this in a, you know, a high velocity way. So people are actually like, there's a huge demand for dollars and people are then, you know, holding them and not, it's not actually like helping the U.S. economy in a lot of ways that there's a strong dollar in many ways.
So then if Bitcoin was made at Langley, like, does that imply that there was like a team of cryptographers working at Langley on making something like Bitcoin? Or did someone come up with Bitcoin and then like they were being monitored and like, so like the CIA knew that they had like, do you know, like,
who? Well, I mean, yeah, they were definitely working on, like, in 96 on Halloween, they released a paper that like how to build a cryptographic mint. That was an NSA paper that talks about like the double spend problem and, you know, how you make a digital bearer asset that, you mm-hmm. know, can't be double spent. They were very clearly working on that stuff. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's not, I don't know. I'm just a guy with an internet connection.
Do you think that if like the CIA or whoever made Bitcoin, do you think that they were tripping really hard on DMT and meeting with the Clockwork Elves and the Clockwork Elves gave them Bitcoin?
I mean, there's also, you know, there's CIA papers talking about like communal experiences of people like, you know, giving like 100 people DMT together in a room and then them all like experiencing the same visualizations.
That's
there are
what I'm
like group hallucinations, you know, there that is like documented, mm-hmm. you know, by our government intelligence agencies. But I have no idea about, you know, where Bitcoin or whatever came from. But I would say
it just
say
seems
I
like something the Clockwork Elves would do, like that they yeah. would give us Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Something else. Like, I mean, it just feels a little bit.
A lot of people theorize there's like an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, some sort of contact.
Yeah, but
with Bitcoin.
Yeah,
yeah, like, or it came from like a
Satoshi's code is just too shitty, though. Like, this is the thing: is like, if you look at the early code, it's like, it's so weird, it's so like idiosyncratically bad, and it's just this like Windows binary. Like, it's like you double clicked like bitcoin.exe, and then it opened up, and it had your wallet and like the miner. I favor more of like a lone grad student or like bored like finance programmer. Did it in his like free time kind of model.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be someone who knows like cryptography, like a PGP related, NSA related, or a John Nash related in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously someone who knows macro pretty well. But yeah, I think there's definitely something to the code base being kind of Satoshi was not like an expert coder. By any means.
Well, imagine correct? Your brain has been fried from doing like 100 tabs of acid at one time, you know. There's many explanations for bad code is all I'm saying.
Got it. I don't want to say bad code. Obviously, it's like code I've dedicated my life to. It's obviously genius code, but.
Well, it's getting better and better. It used to be like really heinous and like people are cleaning it up very slowly. Like Carl Dong.
Carl Dong. Shout out to Carl Dong.
Yeah, shout out
War
to Carl time Dong.
Bitcoin hero, the first. The first honor. What's like a good award you win in the army?
Carl
for
Dong
a,
smash or pass.
Smash, definitely. He's a beautiful man.
Smash the dong.
I don't know who he is, but just based on the name, smash.
He's a ex Bitcoin Core contributor who's done a lot to cleaning up the code base and like modularizing code base. And he actually just stepped away from Bitcoin full time development to focus on other things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fallen soldier.
Yeah. That's
lost
right.
in the war.
There are many casualties of the Bitcoin war.
You, Mark, you sort of have a theory, like, or not theory, but like you think that like the dollar cannot be pulled back from the brink. Right?
Cannot be pulled back from the brink.
Yeah, just that like the amount of debt and everything is such that there's nowhere to go that can save it.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're in a situation, even just at like 4%, where it's like we're paying these
4%
like,
interest. Are we at 4% interest now?
I think so.
Okay.
I think we just went up 75 basis points to 4%.
Yeah, I have no idea. No,
I
I'm sure.
So.
You,
I think
I'm sure
we're at 3.25, and we just went. I'm pretty sure. But we've gone 75. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, we're paying like commercial banks like millions and millions and millions of dollars like every day just for like holding. You know, I mean, we're just at a situation where we're going to like as we raise rates. Yeah, sure. We're much stronger, you know, relatively, but we owe a higher premium, a higher debt service on, you know, now we're up to, you know, 30 trillion plus. You know, we can't do a Volcker thing like an 80s thing and but, you know, to actually do any meaningful damage to lower demand to crush inflation, we have to raise rates so high. Much higher than 4%. 4% is actually really low.
Yeah, right. Historically, it's incredibly low. What did we hit in the 70s? We hit like 20% interest
not in the
70s.
In the 70s, we hit like 8% right before we went off the gold standard, like in the late 60s. Then we chilled and went down, had a big inflationary period. And then Volcker came in the mid 80s or late 70s, but you know, he did all of his craziness in the mid 80s and he went up. I mean, it was double digits. Yeah. Yeah. And it just crushed every single currency, like, you know, exactly what we're seeing now, like every currency going down 50% plus, like all the most important ones. And that's where that Plaza Accord came from, which was that meeting where they
Which I didn't know about. This is totally insane to me.
Yeah, we need you to explain the Plaza
Accord. Yeah, so it was 1985, September 22nd. So after Volcker came in, another example
Paul Volcker, who was chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Yes. Another one who came in who was... he was nominated by Reagan.
Do you like Volcker?
I mean, basically exactly what kind of needed to be done. But I mean, I don't like anyone that's really, you know, messing with interest rates and kind of controlling, you know. I mean, in this case, you can really see how rates really control everything. And so they cracked up rates to sort of diminish this inflationary effects of the 70s. And they went really, really crazy high. And it broke, you know, these exchange rates with, you know, these really important, you know, fiat currencies. It was West Germany, Japan, the UK, and France.
That sounds right to me.
I believe.
Just from reading Wikipedia.
And they all got together in the Plaza Hotel and they had a meeting and they like basically did like a, you know, a debt jubilee of sorts based on resetting all of the exchange rates. So they actually devalued the dollar extremely.
Yeah, it was specifically like the sort of Fed speak that was used would be, it was agreed that it would be advantageous for non-dollar currencies to appreciate.
Right.
That was like the summation of the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I'm trying to remember exactly why we were going down the Plaza Accord train of thought here, but
because you sent me like a wall of
yeah. No, for sure.
I was like, I can't read this. I'm just gonna need it.
You were
asking me if I liked him, but I think he did what he thought he needed to do, I guess, or what he was told to do to get down inflationary
Paul
stuff.
Paul Volcker smash or pass.
Yeah.
I'm going to say pass. I don't fucks with any central banker.
Oh, I smash.
Wow.
Discipline with me with those raids, daddy.
Okay.
raise them up, huh? But we can't do. Oh, yeah. So this is why the situation is so different from that. We did not have nearly as much debt as we do now. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to raise rates that much because our debt the advantage we got of raising rates and making the dollar so strong for a time was so advantageous and our debt service was nominal.
And the reason you can't raise rates when you have a lot of debt is because you raise rates and then your debt gets much more expensive to service. Like
absolutely.
When you want to issue more debt, you need to it's not that the rates that you're paying on your current debt go up because those rates are like fixed as it was issued. It's that as you're like rolling debt forward, any new debt that you issue has to be competitive with current rates, right? So your debt service load like slowly goes up as you issue more debt. And you have to be at market rates, right?
Also, when you raise rates, you do. I mean, you have if you owe, you know, if banks like you have to pay, you know, debt service to banks that are holding bills. Yeah, I mean, you do if you raise rates. I mean, it's a short term thing. Usually, they're like three month services. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just new debt. I think it's anything that's pegged to the short term interest rate would go up.
Right. Right.
Yep. But we can't do that now. Because if we did that now, 30 trillion. So we're in a situation like the way I kind of see what the market's doing right now. It's just, I think Lawrence Lepard was tweeting about this today. But it's like right now, this is sort of like the sea coming out you know, before the tsunami comes back. And this idea that the dollar demand is so strong and that the dollar is going to be able to like blow past like 120 on the Dixie or like, you know, get up to 130. So the Dixie is just the exchange rate of the dollar to other currencies, the relative strength. It's a basket index. Mm. We're like completely gone parabolic, like a total short squeeze or short squeeze up. We broke like 114 today, which is just like wild. So we were like, the last time we were at these levels is when Volcker raised these rates. Mm. So this is the last time we've seen the dollar this strong. But we didn't see the other currencies this week. Like this is, we haven't seen this. I mean, the pound hasn't been this bad. And
yeah, the pound is almost at dollar parity.
Yeah.
Which is insane as we record this. Like I remember it used to be like, I remember that the pound was a big currency when I was a kid. Or it was, you know, it was fat compared to the dollar, right? Like it was like 2.2, you know, dollars per pound or something.
Yeah.
Now it's at 1 to 1.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And the euro was... like 1.5 yeah. at least or something
euro,
like that.
The euro is actually, like the euro was originally introduced at dollar parity.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was the original value of the euro. And then it immediately appreciated. And we've only ever had, a more valuable euro than a dollar.
Yeah.
And now it's like back. It's
yeah,
like,
it's like nine. No, now yeah. it's below. It's like 97 cents
yeah,
or something.
From dollar parity you were born wow, really and to dollar parity you shall return.
So the ECB really set the euro from the get-go? It was pegged to the dollar?
No. It wasn't pegged. It was just that it was released at,
right,
you know, one-to-one dollar
right,
parity.
Of course,
right?
That's a huge difference.
Fuck,
yeah.
Mary, kill the US dollar, the pound, the euro.
Great. Great
oh,
question.
Wow.
I know it right away. Easy. Not even close.
Okay, go.
I mean, you got to marry the dollar for sure. And you fuck the pound.
Yeah. And you kill the euro.
And the euro, you don't even need to kill it. It'll just kill itself.
Diane.
That was dark. I'm sorry. I don't mean it like that. But the euro is dead, is what I mean to say.
It's a currency. We can talk about the euro.
Yes.
Itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, 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 yes.
Diane?
Let's see. I don't know. I was going to say, just as like a programmer working at like a fintech company, a benefit of the euro is I have to program fewer things. Mm. You know, it's like, all right, I don't have to put more things
yeah, no
in this
fucking
enum.
Deutschmarks yeah, and
so
Italian euros.
You know, I'm gonna say, yeah,
Lira,
exactly. So I was
Croatian
gonna say, Hrvatsky. I was gonna say like, fuck the euro, kill the pound, and I don't know, marry the dollar, kind of like what you said.
Yeah, the euro is kind of sexy. Yeah, I get what you mean. It's
yeah,
younger,
right?
It's the youngest one.
I hate the euro. It's like some bullshit like metric currency, yeah. Like you know, like the after the French Revolution, they had like the decimal week. They're gonna have the 10 days in a
I
week.
Love the decimal.
And we're gonna
week.
Have like what like 10 months in a year. And no, we're gonna have the year. It's all very logical, you know.
Well, they had well, so like I love that they like renamed the months also. Like
Euro
like
sense.
It's so confusing. Like trying to learn about like the French Revolution, because it's all like the coup of like 18 Brumaire, and it's like when was that? Like what month? That you have to like translate
Brumaire
is yeah. Those one of their months. They like all their spring months. It was like a flower or something. And there's that I don't know. They named them all kinds of weird things, and they had a special week at the end of the year that was just 5 days, and all those 5 days had their own special names. I loved the like obviously this whole thing is kind of arbitrary and dumb, and like the entire idea of the 7 day week as someone who's working a 9 to 5, I'm like, oh, like this arbitrary like system, I find it really frustrating. But we do need to centralize on like a single time protocol. I don't know, I like the decimal week, it's dumb because like hard forking to a new calendar protocol
yeah.
is it's really tedious and doesn't actually work. But like I kind of admire it, like this notion of like sort of cultural decentralization, like kind of like building from the ground up in that way.
Oh, I mean, but it was so centralized.
You're right.
The
French Revolution. It's yeah. It was a shepherd's tone of
what's a shepherd's tone?
Let's call it a revolving door.
A shepherd's tone.
A shepherd's tone is. Do you know what this is? Do
no,
you explain
not
it?
At all. No.
Oh gosh. Okay. So the basic
sorry
idea
to leave you
is it's
there,
like. But... It's a rising tone, and then exactly an octave below that is the same tone rising at the same rate, and it's at all all octaves that the human ear can hear.
Oh yeah, so and it sounds so, like it's going
it's
up
always
forever.
Rising, or you can have a descending one. But in like, did you ever play like Super Mario 64? Like when you're walking towards Bowser, there's a descending shepherd's tone. It sounds eerie. It sounds like unsettling. It sounds like forever.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like the French Revolution, which I don't know like much about it, but like
it was a shepherd's tone of what?
Centralized governments, tyrants, like, oh, these guys are bad. They keep doing war, like they keep like oppressing everyone. I'm gonna come in and beat those guys up, and then I'll force everyone to be the progressive,
yeah.
Like beautiful, like that. The notion of left at the time, you know, like the terms left and right were invented at the time. They don't perfectly map onto what we have today.
Like the sides of the French like chamber or something.
Yeah.
Some political chamber.
Oh, really interesting.
Yeah.
The right wing of the chamber was filled with like lots of aristocrats, people who kind of like were sort of monarchists, like people who we would recognize as like being into that sort of like central like hierarchical type of authority. And the left was like it ranged from what we might recognize today to like socialists, but also like something closer to like liberals also. So it has some mapping onto like notions of left and right today, but we don't tend to deal with monarchists as much in the same way. Or maybe I don't know, is that true? Do we deal with monarchists? The queen died. I want to talk about that actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The face of fiat.
Yeah. The face of fiat.
Another casualty of war. The queen. The queen has died.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you say the queen is dead? Long live the king.
Yes.
Long live the reign of Charles. Go off, girl.
Go off, girl.
The girl boss, indeed.
Yeah. There was some meme I saw that was making the point that like there's so many laws in England that specifically specify the queen. We got to get the king to transition now.
Mm,
we got to
it's cheaper.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
It might be good for
so
like England's
laws.
Brand.
What's the feminine of Charles?
A transitioned queen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A trans
Charlie.
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Charlene.
King Charlotte the Third.
Carol.
Queen Charlotte the Third.
Yeah. I mean, why not? He's so old anyway. Like,
what is the cultural significance of the queen dying? And like, because I expected it to be almost like a non-event, but it seems like there were people who kind of like kind of came out in droves in England to be like, oh, I'm sad about this. Like, shit got shut down.
I wonder.
It's hard
a lot
for me to tell like propaganda from like what's
right,
actually happening.
Right. Was it a big excuse to get everyone together and have a meeting?
Yeah.
You know?
What's going on?
Well, I think they really care about.
Yeah.
But one thing
why?
I think is really interesting about a monarchy is like, well, think about this. Think about this. In a monarchy, you're like your ceremonial figurehead and the person who has, you know, actual power are different, which is interesting. Like here we have the president who's both like the ceremonial figurehead and
Joe Rogan, who's like
Joe
the,
Rogan. Like, oh, yeah. The man behind the gray, you know, but I mean, like, it's interesting.
Oh, I was going to say Kim Kardashian or Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
That's our royal family. The Kardashians are the American royal family.
Interesting. Yeah.
When Kris Jenner dies, I will be out on the streets sobbing on my knees. I will be like,
just like you in the middle
of
the street.
I died with
Kris
Jenner.
You know what's really interesting? I just found out that when Lincoln was assassinated, they like
allegedly.
Right. They preserved his corpse. Whoa. And they like put him in a train with like a glass chamber, and they like drove him across the country to be like, see?
I went to
he's dead. Isn't that interesting?
So cool.
Kind of.
I wish they did that now.
I was in
so weird
in Russia in the Red Square. They have Lenin in a glass like box. You can see him.
I mean, Chairman Mao, same way.
He looks rough.
Have you ever seen that? There's
Lenin,
a Simpsons
Lenin
clip.
Be down horrendous. All right.
There's a Simpsons clip where it's like they're at the UN and Russia's talking, and they like press a button, and the like, you know, the Russia thing switches to like Soviet Union, and like all these animatronic things go off, and like Lenin comes out of the glass case. And starts
what's going on? If Putin loses this war, like this Ukraine thing is not going well for Putin. Like, what happens to him?
I don't know. I think Putin wins.
Yeah, I it's so hard to tell what's real and what's not over there. But I can't. How is Russia possibly losing to the Ukraine? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Apparently, there's been huge territorial gains by Ukraine recently.
Totally.
Or at least that's what the bug men would have us believe.
Right.
I mean, my answer of Putin winning is just purely a vibes-based conclusion.
You identify Putin as being sort of like the vitalist.
It just feels like Russia's going to win, or it's just going to be like a never-ending war.
Like, yeah, it just think he's more winner, Chad. You know? Like if it's vibe-based, you just think he's like.
It seems like they're just more in it. Like, then I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, the
like,
vibes.
It just feels like they're in it. Like he'll, like Russia will like collapse before, like he would pull out. Is the way that it feels. Like, if Russia loses, it's because, like, Russia's over.
Putin never pulls out.
Right.
Exactly.
KGB don't quit.
But, you know, what do I know? That's just a 50-50 chance I'm right.
It's going to be, like, tomorrow, like, you know, Russia routed and somehow doesn't collapse. Yeah. Like, conclusion to war.
Mostly because vibe's not right, you know?
Yeah. How long is the, so Aaron, how long is the Kardashian-Jenner dynasty going to, is it like the Habsburgs? Is this a 1,000-year dynasty that we're at the beginning of?
It's hard to say. I do think that the new generation, like, Northwest, like, their child, that the children, I think they're gonna be like the next like political figure. Like, I think Northwest might become president. I doubt that Kim or Kanye will be. Like, I wouldn't. Kim might be able to be president someday, but I think Northwest will like undoubt. Like, she will rule the world.
It's really like
country.
A wild card. Like, what's she gonna be like? You know, what if she's just like a normie dork?
How old is she? How much are we?
She's like nine.
Does she have a public okay. Yeah.
She. Okay. I mean, she like turns looks and stuff. She does interviews. Like, she's
she does interviews.
Looks? Yeah.
What does turning looks mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, she like show like she has. She's a stylist and
what,
like she.
What is
will,
turning looks? What does that mean?
Turning a look is like you show up somewhere and you have a good outfit.
So like us right now, we're all turning.
Yeah,
looks.
Like I'm turning a look.
Yeah, okay, we look great.
Got it. Got it.
Right.
Yeah, we're so cool.
Like Northwest like comes out in like fake nose piercings and like lipstick and like whatever. Like, she has a stylist and she clearly has like an image that she's aware of.
Bitcoin
as a 9-year-old.
Or not a Bitcoiner.
I don't know. Is Kanye a Bitcoiner?
Yes. Is he?
Yeah.
He's going to be. They
made that Kanye coin and then he sued them back in 2017, like the ICO days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bitcoin Maxi.
I felt like that was kind of a bitch move. Like, I think
you're sensitive to
I just
that
think,
kind
yeah,
of
I'm
thing.
Very sensitive about intellectual property. I really hate intellectual property.
Based.
Yeah. I mean, Kanye, agreed. I feel like it's a Bitcoiner just because he's just deranged. So it just seems like
no, he's
vibe
talked,
affiliation.
He's talked about
affiliation.
It. He's talked about it before. He has some quote where he's like, when I hear about putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill, that makes me just want to buy more Bitcoin. Or he has like, it's like a quote like that.
Okay. Good for him.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I can kind of see it like, again, this is like a vibes based like estimate of him, but like, he's this like kind of outsider, like Yeezy. It seems like it's all about these like enveloping yourself. You know, Bitcoin is this outsider money. Like, I feel like just like brand wise, fashion wise, like Bitcoin could work for him.
He's very conspiratorial too. Yeah, and I feel like he has sovereign individual mindset. 100%.
Yeah. A huge sovereign individual mindset. Yeah. Personal responsibility mindset.
And then Kim, I'm sure, owns so much Bitcoin just because they're financially smart.
Yep.
But she's also probably like shilling shit coins like for Instagram money.
Yeah, I think she did. I think she got sued, right?
Yeah.
For doing like super ETH or something.
Wasn't
it like literally called that, I think?
Yeah.
Or like mega ETH.
Doesn't sound something good. Like that. Don't buy that. Don't invest in the mega ETH ICO.
It was her and then like Floyd Mayweather or something.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather got sued. Yeah.
And it was like
Floyd Mayweather is dumb. It is dumb. He is really dumb. It's incredible. There was like a morning show that Floyd Mayweather was on. And then the host of the, it was like AM, like, you know, morning show. And then the host was like, hey, Floyd, why don't you read this children's book? He like surprised him on air. And it's bad. Oh, like goodness. Floyd Mayweather is like borderline illiterate.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
did he try to read it and couldn't get through it? Or was it like he like refused to?
No, he
what?
Like tried to read it and like, wow. It was, yeah. Damn. Really, you got to know your limits. You know, if you're illiterate, like don't try reading a book on an FM radio show.
Yeah. Wow, damn. I bet he's got a lot of Bitcoin.
Did he fight Jake Paul?
I don't think that's happened yet.
But that's happening.
Maybe.
No, I think it did happen, yeah.
Really?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, it did happen. Yeah, it did. Yeah, that's right.
They drawed or something.
No, I think he won on points. I mean, it was like an exhibition match or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just beat up some Japanese MMA dude. It was really confusing. There's this like MMA promotion called Ryzen. And then they paid him millions of dollars to have a boxing match with one of their top fighters. And then he just like embarrassed him. The Floyd Mayweather embarrassed this MMA guy because he's not a boxer. And it's like, Ryzen, like, why did you pay Floyd Mayweather $20 million to embarrass, like, your most popular fighter? Like, what were you thinking, you know?
So weird.
Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Back on topic.
So what happens next, Mark? Or Diane or anyone, but I just, like, I feel like...
Beep.
We'll bleep that out.
First beep, yeah. beep.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know. Do you have predictions?
Kind of, a little bit.
Or
I mean,
possible scenarios?
I mean, first off, I think, yeah, like, just from the get-go, like, predicting Bitcoins for the birds, and anything. I mean, who the fuck knows? The fact that it, like, this is a situation that's being caused by, like, a select few people making a decision in a room and coming out and, like, the fucking groundhog and just, you know, announcing, you know, 75 basis points. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's so absurd. I would not use any margin at all in either direction at all. We're in a complete spin zone where price discovery is, like, you know, occurring in the live. Like, I wouldn't really, you know, put too much weight into it. But I think there's a great chance that we're going to have to see a pivot happen really fast. And I think people are, like, seeing the dollar exploding and seeing this, and they're not kind of thinking about what happens next, which is all of these central banks pivoting. And what they're trying to do by increasing rates is lowering demand to kill inflation, but they're actually in causing more demand by the dollar going up. So they're sort of not creating the situation they really want to have happen. It's beyond policy error to the point where I think it's like a war, like, policy, you know, to hurt other countries. Like, the US has Europe, like, they can make them do anything that they want, you know, like, you know, from a central bank standpoint, like, we have them by the balls. And so I think what kind of happens next is either, like, a, you know, a social agreement of sort of Plaza Accord thing where we figure something out.
The Nakamoto Accord.
Or you know, some sort of, like, actual kinetic war. But I don't think kinetic war will happen.
I don't think either.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I feel like states have really kind of chilled out, you know, over the last 100 years.
The United States?
Yeah, and, like, other states. Like, is Japan really going to go to war again? Like, nah, probably not. And they were going ham, like, in
Well, they have no money. I mean, they're, like, one of the worst off.
Yeah, they're not doing great. But, no. I mean, like, they could, like, you know, be like, yeah, you know, nationalism again. Let's go, you know?
I mean, their interest rate's already, what, like, negative 25 basis points?
I don't know what's going on with that country and interest rates and the economy.
Yeah, they own, like, 400% of their GDP is, like, owned by the Treasury. I mean, it's just absurd.
I wonder if we're going to see sort of, like, a anti-green nationalism from Europe that's just like, oh, this, like, green energy policy has... made us energy insecure, and now, like, everything's super expensive, energy's super expensive, and I wonder if there's going to be a sort of pushback against that, like, hey, let's build some nuclear power plants already.
It's just a question of how big that gets. Like, there is definitely already that sort of movement in
Brexit
Europe. Yeah,
there's a Russian Twitch streamer who just streams 24/7 their like gas burner on their stove. And it's like, you mad Europeans? And he has like, the price of, like, running it, and it's like one. It's only 30 rubles a month to keep this stuff on, but it's so many euros to you. You like this, you Germans?
And I mean, that's really it.
See,
though.
That's why Russia wins.
Is Powell gonna just, like, let Europe, like, freeze to death? You know,
what's,
like,
he gonna do?
It lower rates.
And then how does that help Europe?
I mean, it will put a bunch of money into the system and make things pump again, and people will have money and be able to pay for things. It won't solve the actual energy crisis, but it will, like, get people. I mean, people right now, like, their energy bills are just, like, going so parabolic. They're, like, thousands of euros a month for, like, very basic limited power, you know? I mean, it's completely unsustainable. They're, like, capping people's energy bills for a month at, like, 2,500 euro. So it's, like... I don't know. It's just we're seeing price control in the energy markets already.
I feel like maybe I just was out of the loop, but it's just crazy how fast it feels like to me that Europe is just so obviously NGMI. Like, I feel like I didn't think that way. Like, I didn't think, like, oh, wow, Europe is fucked, like, a year ago, 2 years ago, even. and it just feels so.
I wonder if we're seeing sort of like a that the narrative arc is that a lot of the very innovative sort of risk taking Europeans went to America, right? And they sort of left behind people who were sort of like more conservative, like less taking chances, et cetera, which then leads to this like sort of long-term stagnation of Europe.
Hmm.
And like the current day is actually like playing out that like influx of that outflux of Europeans to America, you know, hundreds of years ago. And that like shaped the national character of Europe to be like less, you know, kind of go-getter.
That's an interesting theory.
Uh-huh.
I think from the side of like just people perceiving Europe as being better than it is, like, I think there's like a level of like Obama era smugness that used to be very like, oh, I'm going to move to Canada if things get bad here.
Like, I'm hearing people say that though. I hear a lot of people saying like, that like the past like 6 months, especially like it's popped up. And I know people who are kind of following through on the like, yeah, we're getting out of here.
Right. It's just, I mean, yeah, there's definitely still like a liberal flavor of like that sort of sentiment. But yeah. I think it's like it. I mean, Canada, I would not want to live in Canada at this point. Like Europe, as I said, NGMI, like I think obviously there still are people that are in that mindset of like, oh yeah, I'll move to Canada. Anywhere is better than here. But like, it does feel like the era of that being the dominant kind of like smug liberal disposition is like waning over time, at least, even if there are people who are still just like stuck in that same loop. But I don't know. Yeah. I just like, yeah. When did Europe fail so bad? I mean, maybe it is just a gradual process over generations and whatever.
I think it's just really been brought to a head by bad energy policy. The thing that's really confusing to me is that their sort of green energy policy is a manifest that if you look at what they're saying is like, okay, they're trying to be green and trying to be sustainable. And then if you're looking at what they're doing, it's just massively increased dependence on natural gas from 100%. Abroad. There's like a complete disconnect from what they're saying and what they're doing. You know, they're like they're leading with, okay, we've got to turn off our nuclear power plants and we've got to do this, blah, 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 blah. But then what's actually happening is just complete energy dependence on the outside. And I don't understand how that's like, how that has been politically sustainable for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's totally insane. I mean, also, I think we're missing like the world wars, you know, I think that kind of messed with Europe a little bit. That was a huge part of it. And then also like currency manipulation, like the London gold pool and like all the stuff that happened with like Charles de Gaulle in France and the US going off the gold standard. Like that was a lot of like, that's kind of why I love that we're doing all this in the wartime Bitcoin stuff. It's like, the Fed's, Powell's decisions look like an absolute mistake unless you look at them as sort of like a policy of war, like against Europe and against, you know, these other important, you know, like, you know, foreign exchange currencies. So, yeah, that's kind of how I look at it.
Do you think like we, like the U.S. will ever engage in like physical warfare ever again?
I mean, every day.
Well,
I mean,
like,
not counting, like it doesn't count when you go into some like poor country and just like fuck them over. Like that doesn't count.
Like
that's,
I mean,
not war.
I'm talking about like war, like on U.S. I mean, I guess besides the Civil War and Revolutionary War, there like hasn't really.
Mm. Oh, like on U.S. soil.
Yeah. Like, do you think that the U.S. will ever like engage in like real war, like on its own,
ground,
like in a way that affects America?
Like, will we be invaded?
Or just
attacked.
Just like in a way that actually feels like we're going to war, guys, and like we're gonna have to sacrifice and people are
like
lots of
draft.
People are gonna die and it's gonna be a whole thing.
I mean, unless it happens like really soon, like no, I kind of don't. I think like the ground warfare is sort of I don't know, it's gonna be really hard to sort of manipulate and propagandize enough people to be like, you need to go do this thing and risk your life when we're all so connected. It's like we can like Skype with someone over there or wherever we would be fighting and be like, do you want to kill me? No. Okay. I don't want to kill you. Cool. Whereas like all we had was like go to the movies and watch like a clip of like, they want to kill you so bad. And you're like, okay, let's go kill them. It's like, I don't know. I think that the war machine's like ability to sort of like you know, corrupt what's the most important thing you should be doing with your life, like in that moment. I think like that ability is really lost.
Yeah. That's what I mean is like, do you think like, right. And I agree with you. I think the answer is no. Like, I don't know that America will ever be like, maybe if like aliens came, you know, and we were like, oh shit.
If aliens came, though, we'd just be fucked. Like the chances are is that their technology level will be so much higher.
Right, I'm not saying we'd win. I'm just saying like that I think would be.
This is wartime Bitcoin. You don't think we'd fucking beat aliens?
Absolutely
resilience
not.
Of the human spirit. Haven't you read any sci-fi book? That's the special thing about us.
Yeah, I have. And America always wins in the books I read.
Yeah.
I mean, listen,
are aliens,
real?
Is that happening?
Yeah, baby.
I don't know.
No. I've never met
one. I don't know.
I don't know. I see smart people going like, oh, like, look, like there's like the Navy, some, you know, Air Force agency has this like, you know, like logo with like planes going across. It's like the Naval Intelligence people.
Yeah.
And it literally has a UFO. Yeah, UFO on it. Yeah. Literally has a flying saucer. But wait. You need to like the military, like their internal like design culture is fucking insane. Yeah. If you go look at like DARPA, like PowerPoint presentations, they're fucking bonkers. They're so bad. They're just like terrible clip art and like weird ass fonts that don't match. And like all this shit, like if they put a UFO on something, it doesn't mean anything. They're not doing anything intentional.
Are they bad at design? Because it's just a bunch of like old people who don't know how to use computers. Like, what's going on?
They're just
there?
Pretending to look incompetent.
No, I think they want attention.
DARPA?
Like, no, these
they're
are
good
like,
at some things.
Well, no, DARPA isn't. I guess no, DARPA aren't the people producing these presentations that I'm these PowerPoints okay, that I'm making fun enough. Of. These are like internal, like Army, Navy, like okay. intelligence, like. Yeah, they're
run of the mill intelligence.
I mean, I think
low intelligence.
Low. Mm-hmm.
We've sort of been talking about a lot of governments like they're like these intelligent, agentive things that have ideas and agendas. And I don't think they are. I think they're really dumb.
No, I think they want attention and they do this to cause drama and they like think it makes them seem more mysterious and like, oh my God, like what are these institutions doing? Like when they do little things that like I just think it's about branding. Like, honestly, I think they do these little things and they leak like the UFO stuff, especially like I think they just leak stuff like that because it makes them seem like secretive and important and so cool. But the reality is that they're just like flops and they haven't like really found anything cool personally. I mean, I could be wrong, like, but that's what I think.
It makes sense. But I do think it's interesting that we were like the way we got to this talk was like what would unify us, America, to like go to war again. And we were like, well, aliens, maybe. And it's like, it's kind of interesting that now it's like, now
that's
all the army intelligence,
it's like, it like,
they're like trickling out alien stuff, you know? I mean, I think that's a pretty classic conspiratorial trope that it's like, there's this like blue beam project where it's like, they're going to fake an alien invasion to like unify people.
Well, that's what Watchmen is about, isn't it? Is the guys trying to fake like an attack from, he's not an alien, but he's like a Superman type thing.
Yep. An Ubermensch.
Yeah, and he's
an
American. I mean,
Dein blauer Übermensch.
Yes, I know this. We'll see what Übermensch means, but also kind of like not really in the context of the book. Like Nietzsche was talking about. I don't know. I know what you mean. I get the meaning. Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
A war. I feel like the only. Yeah, I guess. Well, no. I was China, right?
China.
Like
China.
Yeah, we could
China
war with China.
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 China. China.
Chief of a China officer.
China.
Heyo.
China.
So like a war with China would be, I mean, like Taiwan is that's sort of interesting.
I honestly think there's a lot of Americans that would just be like, you know what, if China wants to rule us, that's fine. I don't want to leave my apartment anyway.
What are you talking about?
Right, those aren't Americans, but they do live. I agree with you, but that's not American.
Americans in name only.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Like, I don't think like there's any, I don't know. I feel like people are so desensitized to like political drama that like, yeah, you can like get them riled up on for posting, but like to actually go to war, to actually sacrifice something, like I think people would sooner bow to China.
Well, yeah,
because
like
not every American.
Unless my material daily life has significantly changed, I don't want to go to war, which would really, really change my daily life. Like, it's a lot harder to just get like a super burrito whenever I want to if I'm at war.
Mm-hmm. And exactly.
But
you don't get to kill people on day to day. I'm just kidding.
You could do it if you wanted to. I don't know. But
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, like if suddenly I woke up and like I China was my dad,
I hated that day of middle school, you know? You wake up one day, me. China's your dad.
Come on, Dad, I want to do Falun Gong.
I love Shen Yun. Do you do acrobatics? I was in Dolores Park today, and I had my earbuds in, so I didn't really hear what the lady said, but she came up and clearly wanted me to like sign something or like do something, and it just said like something, yeah, stop the Communist Party, and I was like, I'm vibing right now. Can't do this.
I don't think signatures are gonna stop that Communist Party.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't signatures. Maybe she wanted some sats. I didn't really listen. But yeah, it was. It's always interesting to see that kind of like ambient culture. I mean, I've been seeing this since I was a kid in San Francisco. In the Bay Area, people with posters like Doomsday, watch out for the Chinese government. Potential topic change. China CBDC. What's going on?
Do you know that the Chinese constitution equivalent was written in a tong house in San Francisco's Chinatown?
What's a tong house? Like a benevolent association.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an association. Usually an association of like Chinese immigrants from a particular location in China start like an association in America for like the benefit of people.
Yeah,
there.
like early, kind of almost like a part social club, part union, almost like kind of a men's club.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Freemason
sort of
stuff
thing.
Or.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, it was funny when you mentioned Mario 64 earlier. I was like, have you guys ever seen the whole castle of Mario 64 is like all Freemason tropes and the black and white checkered thing. And there's a big sun in the middle and like you go in the paintings and there's a camera that follows you around. It's a good rabbit hole.
So, okay. But like, so who, and this is just, I'm sorry, I'm derailing. We can talk about the
Chinese
currency.
We'll talk about China.
But just Mark, like, I feel like I'm always trying to understand.
Why do you think like shit like that?
Why would
you even say that?
No, I'm not saying that, but I want to understand like why, like who do you think is like planning the Mario 64 Freemason
set? I know,
like,
it's so absurd.
Oh yeah, do you think that like Miyamoto-san is like
That's what I'm asking.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like this is where I'm kind of stuck on a lot of this, like, because the Freemason shit is just like, it's crazy.
My grandfather was a Freemason.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, my uncle Chip, whose name is now Tarchin Kelsang because he's a Tibetan Buddhist monk. He stole some like medical supplies from the school that he was at. And then he was like in trouble with like the principal or whatever. And my grandfather like went to like meet with the principal to like, you know, talk things
over.
Did a
handshake.
My dad was there, who was like younger. And like they went to the office, they shook hands and they talked. They just like exchanged pleasantries. And then my grandfather left, and my dad was like, "Yeah, you guys didn't really talk about anything." And my grandfather was like, "Yeah, no, it's taken care of." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Yeah, he's a Freemason. He's a Mason. It's fine."
Yeah,
they felt it when they shook hands, right. And then it was all good. It was taken care of.
And so some of this like symbolism stuff, it's like I'm really curious now, like how. Like how much of it is really actually like a secret society that controls stuff? And
I think
how
for
much
something
of it,
like Mario, I think in a lot of media it's just accidental. I mean, like the two things that come to mind for me are like Evangelion, and that there's a bunch of like Christian imagery in that in that show. And
similarly,
they ask them afterwards, like, what does it all mean? And they're like, I don't know. It's just like foreign. We thought it was kind of cool. We put it in our TV show.
Also, like,
that's
there's like,
no, come on.
There's that like
the trope of Evangelion is like all old Bible tropes, like Adam and Lilith, and
no,
it's super
not,
heavy.
It's not that they it's not that they don't know what they're doing. It's like, oh yeah, I just saw some like Bible stuff. I thought it'd be cool. You know, and
yeah,
no
aesthetic.
Deep meaning.
Got
you know?
It. Okay.
Yeah. Or the other thing that comes to mind for me is the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. Are you familiar with these guys, like Aleister Crowley?
The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
Yeah, it's like some wizards in England.
Yeah.
I don't know, just a bunch of people like hanging out. They're like, we do magic. They did a lot of like Freemason kind of like imagery, and they had like hierarchies, and you could only know like someone's magical name if you were like a higher rank than them.
The Homoerotic Order of the Golden Dawn.
Well, Aleister Crowley, like one of the great power bottoms of Western history. No, really, it's true. He a big thing with him is like his magic was in his butt. Like it was a huge part of his rituals.
That's a Freemason trope, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Aleister Crowley was kind of an odd man out in them. He from what I understand, was sort of like, man, you guys are kind of lame. You guys are just trying to hang out. I'm trying to do real magic. But yeah, like they did a lot of like Freemason stuff. And like, yeah, it was because like cool secret society. But partially they were just like, we want to be cool and secret too. They just thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's like both. Like, I mean, very clearly these societies have played huge roles in the way our world is
formed.
What's
your number one secret society? Your favorite? Templars, Freemasons.
I mean, I think Freemasons have like the closest, like, as like, you know, like I grew up in a town that had like a big Freemason museum in the middle of it, you know, which was where the Revolutionary War started, interestingly enough. Mm. So I don't know. It's just like you get in, like, I don't know how much of it is coincidence, how much of it is actual, or how much of it is like, you know, maybe like someone like myself, like I have no association with any secret society at all whatsoever.
Sure.
Period. I swear I don't, on my soul, I don't. But I know a lot of the symbols and the imagery and the numbers and all that, and I'd love to sprinkle them in. Like, if I'm editing a song and like I'm going to make it end on 33 instead of 32. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do that every time. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Freemason. I'm not, literally. But I love sprinkling and all that stuff, right? Mm. So how much is it just like, is it Miyamoto being like, oh, I've learned a lot of shit by, you know, learning about you. Maybe he's obviously an incredibly brilliant, connected, amazing, smart person. Maybe he just connected all these tropes and decided to play with them and sprinkle them in as sort of like a wink to other people going through like, you know, the Enlightenment journey or the great work journey of just being like, here you go, keep going. You know, these are these tropes, keep going.
Right.
Because like, I don't really... Does Masonry exist in a way right now that actually like is controlling, you know, very specific things? Like, I literally have no idea.
Yeah.
But it very clearly has like a cultural trope that you can see through art and history, and you can like see people that are and weren't, you know? And
totally.
So,
Diane, do you believe in any conspiracy theories?
Oh,
or like
I don't know.
Or like beliefs that
they're
you hold that like
the frogs.
Where you think that something is the case that is other people think is just totally crazy.
I don't know. I'm not that conspiratorial. I think it's partially because, like, I haven't dug into a lot of it. Oh, you know what one I kind of believe, and I forget a lot of the evidence for it, but I remember, like, researching it, and I came to a conclusion.
The moon is cheese?
Maybe. I'm still on the fence there. JFK was shot by the Secret Service by accident. Like the bullet that actually blew up his head was some guy with like itchy trigger finger. He was in the moment, he was like, there's some gunfire. Yeah, the limousine behind them.
He heard M16, the bullet was different.
Yeah. Courtney totally killed Kurt. Yeah.
Oh damn.
You think so?
I fully believe that one actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it, honestly. I got into Nirvana like this week.
Back to China's
I like them.
CBDC.
Oh yeah.
They essentially already have one in the form of like WeChat payments.
Yep.
Right? I mean like WeChat, what's the company that runs WeChat?
Alibaba?
Alibaba. Yeah, or
right?
Maybe it's
WeChat. Is it Tencent that does that?
Oh, Tencent.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, so they have these weird like sort of like very strong like public private partnerships. So it seems like they already really have a CBDC. Right? Sure. That like they have this like controlled digital currency.
I mean, we already have one. I mean, this idea of like a digital dollar, it's like everything we use is a digital dollar. Yeah. Well, there's not going to be I don't think there will be a specific which digital dollar either. USDC, I think, is the CBDC.
But it's not a CBDC though, right? I mean, it's not like it doesn't.
Why would the government want to have a government issued money when they can own a corporation and have way more reserved rights as a private company? It's like
I don't think they DARPA do own that corporation.
Doing LifeLog versus Facebook. They'll get way more data information by buying it off of a private company, which is why Palantir is a private company.
Yeah.
It's just like smart business, dog.
I got
Bitcoin.
Yeah, I tried to work at Palantir after I got out of school.
Really?
Yeah, I applied.
A lot of techies I know think it's cool.
Yeah.
What? I was just going to ask, who do you think is
my
most,
aunt.
Most likely cool. Right, to be cool. A spook of this group?
Sorry, what's the question? God.
Who is most likely a spook in this group?
Wartime Bitcoin.
Yeah.
We're now going internal. You think me?
I think it's
you
Casey.
You know too much.
I think it's me too.
Yeah, it's obviously Casey.
Yeah, and I think it's like, I'm like trying to like build up cred with like this podcast and like, oh, Ordinals is just this kooky thing.
Right.
But it's actually,
like, who's funding
Ordinals
this,
is like,
you know,
an attack on Bitcoin. Yeah. Ordinals is, yeah, like, no, we're just going to do this. Yeah. It really destroys fungibility.
I love that.
I can't wait for someone to clip you saying exactly that.
Yeah. I'm a spook. Yeah. I'm an enemy of Bitcoin.
I hate Bitcoin. I hate freedom.
I do. So I have a deep theory that
there's only one China. And it's mainland China.
And it is my daddy.
I have
There's only one China, and it's Taiwan. And
no dads, no masks.
Mainland Taiwan needs to be returned to the motherland.
All right. Well, we've been demonetized.
I have
already
a deep theory that Casey is an MK Ultra plant, and he doesn't realize that Ordinals is going to destroy Bitcoin. And at some point, they're going to turn him on, and he's going to, like, right, completely switch, and like my life will be thrown into chaos, and like it'll just be a fucking
immediately
mess
to your life.
Well, you
know?
Said sometimes
right
when,
to your life.
When we're like out and I'm like shilling Ordinals, you're like, well, it's kind of like Casey's like an MK Ultra, like,
yeah,
stooge or whatever, and you're like my handler.
Yeah, I feel like his handler sometimes. Like, wow. Sometimes I feel like I'm like I have to guide him and make sure that he doesn't like accidentally like die on
or
the
like
way
go
to
crazy,
like fulfilling his purpose.
Do you ever
purpose
think you've had like a handler in your, like someone in your space that you was like, oh, that's weird that person came into my life and like helped
only,
me in
only
it
at my most deranged moments.
Yeah, well, that's
so
when a handler
no
would come, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, but not right when I'm in my yeah right mind do
right
I believe such a thing. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're just,
that's
it's wartime
the,
Bitcoin,
that's
Casey.
That's what MK, what is but MK Ultra, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I said I grew up in a fucking Mason town, you know? What the hell do they do?
You ever dug into the Carbonari? They're another cool secret
like
society.
Chicken really like Carbonara.
Yes, good stuff. Delicious.
Were we all going to make that joke?
Yeah, what do you guys... Yeah. Yeah, the new Italian Prime Minister, Guido Marinara.
Wartime Bitcoin.
The new name of this podcast is Pasta Slut.
I'm your host, Guido Marinara. What was it?
Covered in olive oil.
Was it Guido or
it can't
Gino
really be Guido because that's sort of like a slur. It's got to be
it?
Like, yeah.
Shit.
Isn't Guido a slur?
We can make it one.
I think it's like reclaimed. It's like,
can we reclaim it?
Or I'm not reclaiming it. I'm not Italian.
Let's bring it back, yeah.
But like Jersey Shore, they call each other Guidos.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah,
okay,
you know?
Yeah. So
there's
like,
much worse words I can think of.
Yeah.
Rigatoni marinara.
Right. Yeah, you're safe on that. Yeah.
I wanted to try to reclaim cracker, but Aaron told me no. It's not allowed.
Well, it's also just not like an aesthetic word.
No,
like, it
exactly.
It doesn't
it's
sound that
cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean,
but to each their own. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Right,
I can't decide for you whether you reclaim cracker. Like, I would never presume. Like, I can't tell you what a casserole is. Like, you know, there's just certain things. Like, yeah, it's
you
not
can't
my plate
tell us what one is.
Yeah,
I'm just incapable of.
How could I ever like explain to you? You
perception
know?
Like, is reality.
Mark,
perception
what's
is
your
reality.
Mark?
Nothing
what's your? I mean, totally off topic. What's your ethnic background?
My ethnic background.
Yeah.
Jeez. well, to the MK Ultra theory, I'm adopted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the 21st of the month.
Wow.
That's irrelevant. I am Guido. No, I'm Irish Italian. Yeah, sorry. Irish Italian, German, and Polish.
Mm. Polish Jew.
So I have a few theories about this actually. So one of my birth parents were like,
I forgot that you were adopted. That really ups the spook.
Yeah.
MK Ultra.
Totally.
I agree.
Yeah, you guys are in
competition. Guys, I'm with you. I agree. There's probably some repressed split personality in here, you know.
You're going to get activated one day. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and you're inside, you know, Bitcoin magazine.
In media,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to take the whole thing down from the inside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing a terrible job if I'm supposed to be doing like anti CIA awareness stuff, you know.
You're putting all sorts of like crazy hidden messages into Bitcoin magazine, which is activating sleeper cells all over the world.
Exactly. We actually are working on a cipher of sorts to we're going to hide some things in the magazine.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Because the founding
fathers, you're fulfilling your purpose.
The founding fathers
think you're doing something else.
Like Hamilton like used ciphers and stuff like in their like letters to each other, they like used cryptographic ciphers. Mm. So
wow.
Cool. Yeah. So badass.
It's
fun.
But are you Jewish?
Oh yeah, sorry. So no,
a little awkward.
That was what Casey was trying to ask. To that.
Yeah, no. So
I'm
so
Jewish, which is why I asked.
I'm allowed to ask. I know my birth mother certainly is Roman Catholic, and when I was adopted, like one of the like conditions, if you will, was like need to be raised by a Roman Catholic.
Really?
So I have a hunch that like perhaps maybe my father was Jewish, and then like got pregnant with my mom, and like her family was like, "You're not having a Jewish boy. You know, what is this?" And, mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, can't, you know, abort the baby. You got a Catholic, gotta have it. And so I was given up for adoption, and perhaps that's what it is. But father was Polish. Mm. But as far as I know, they were both Catholic. Yeah. Mm. As far as I know.
Yeah. I don't really know why I ask. I don't have any. I'm not going anywhere with this.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he just wanted to know. He's just curious.
Just curious.
It is Rosh Hashanah right now.
Yeah.
It's
happy
wow.
Happy New Year, yeah. Everybody. May your name, may your names be inscribed in the Book of Life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Inscribed in the Book of Life.
Dude, I barely know any of this stuff. I don't know how it works, but yeah, tomorrow, Rabbi Mendy Blank, shout out Emeryville Chabad, is pressuring me to go blow the shofar or hear the shofar be blown.
That's the
blow the shofar.
Yeah.
It's like a horn that's made out of a ram's horn or like a sheep's horn.
No, I thought you meant chauffeur.
No,
like the driver. You're gonna blow of the
chauffeur.
He's really trying to pressure me to blow the chauffeur.
I'm gonna drive you to temple and then blow the guy that
drove. It's an Orthodox Jewish thing.
You gotta, you know, writing in the Book of Life.
Yeah. He's always pressuring me to do like more Jewish stuff. Like one time I was hanging out with him and he knew that I was going to go.
Is that like his job though?
Yeah,
like,
it's his job. Yeah. Okay, but it's really funny. Like I showed up and I was just, you know, visiting him for a little bit. And then I was going to go eat dinner with a friend. And he knew that I was going to go eat like non-kosher food, which for Orthodox Jews, they really believe that like kosher food is like purer and is like better for you or like mm-hmm. spiritually better for you. And so he kept like pushing food on me. I was like, oh, I'm not really that hungry. And he's like, yeah, you want some chicken? I was like, oh, sure. Yeah, I'll have some chicken. He's like, oh, you want a little loaf of bread? And I was like,
a loaf of bread.
Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, wait, you're trying to fill me up. So I eat like less non-kosher food, which like will dirty my soul.
Wartime Bitcoin is going on outside.
Yeah, wartime Bitcoin is absolutely going on outside.
It's popping off.
Can the audience hear that? There was some screeching of tires.
I don't know. I wonder.
The pound dollar parody must have just happened in there outside. I feel like we need donuts for 1.00.
It's all collapsing right now.
We need some sort of like live, like financial markets.
Yeah.
You know, in the background.
Just like red everything.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you could just take like a red Sharpie and just draw a line down. I think it would be more or less the same, except Bitcoin though, right? Because
I mean, Bitcoin's just kind of cruising along. Bitcoin has like been going nowhere for months, right? It's like in this like 15.
It's just in the spin zone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. It just takes time.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm bullish. Everybody that was super bullish when it was made no sense to be is now like so bearish, and I think that's like sort of telling that sentiment has changed.
I don't understand.
There's only a few macro people that I really like that I like read all their things and follow, and like pretty much everyone is like, yeah, like everyone's being very short-sighted. Like there might be like a flash crash, but like what happens next is inevitable, that there will be more money printed. Like it just has to happen, you know.
What's your guys's next upgrade for Bitcoin? What do you want to see?
Smaller blocks.
Really? You're in the Luke Dashier camp.
I am. No base layer transparency, smaller blocks. Wartime Bitcoin. Ideal money. The Nashian orientation. Take it. Take the Nash pill.
When you say no base layer transparency, does that mean just like more private transactions? What do you mean?
Less private transactions.
Less private transactions.
He doesn't mean that. He's just trolling. No, you're trolling.
Bitcoin is a settlement network. And I think where it's going to go, if we're going to get to a place where the fee market is sustaining it, that means we're most likely probably going to need smaller blocks potentially.
Why?
To increase the likelihood of the fee market taking over the security model of the system. And if it does get to that point where that is true, then it's going to be really be used as a settlement network pretty much primarily and pretty much exclusively by like the super, super elite of the system. Like I'm talking a point like 0.01%. Like when a transaction, like when a Satoshi is more than an hour's wage, like this is like beyond our lifetime. It's going to price out 99.9% of the users of the system, in which case you are going to want total transparency of those systems as a minority user.
Then they'll just coin join. Those sophisticated actors can just do coin joins on the base layer.
Totally, but it'll be so much easier to, you know, we can still do all the same chain analysis stuff they're doing to us.
Not if they're coin joining.
Sure. You can, I mean,
if everything on the base layer is like just these like huge coin joins, no, there's no transparency. That doesn't afford you any transparency. Not that you want it, but you don't get it.
I mean, if it's a small enough user set and you can see where, like, and kind of estimate generally balances, like,
but
there's,
imagine if every user, if every transaction today on Bitcoin was just like these giant coin joins. Giant coin joins, and then, like, basically, in some sort of like crazy end state of Bitcoin in that like future, like, okay, we have the Lightning Network, right?
Yeah.
So all of the Lightning Network stuff is private.
I mean, it can be,
right?
But it's not.
It's very private. I mean, compared to on-chain Bitcoin.
I mean,
so you have all these entities like kind of transacting
when it's
each
at
other.
Scale, and we have I don't know. I
the
I
bigger
think,
it gets, the more private it gets.
I know. I agree. I don't think Lightning is actually nearly as private as people say it is on the regular.
No, I mean, the senders have very good privacy on the Lightning Network.
Receivers don't.
Mm-hmm. And but if a receiver, if
but
what
if there's nefarious nodes in the system, where this is wartime Bitcoin, like you can absolutely count packets, you can absolutely like
I don't think you get really really good. I don't think you learn a lot of information. So imagine you're mostly like you're doing like Lightning transactions, and then when you want to open and close channels or like move money around, you're doing like giant on chain coin joins. No transparency in the system. Super elite can do whatever they want.
I mean, maybe Bitcoin will get to that point where all of those amenity sets are strong enough where it's complete. But I mean, I don't think we're at that point now.
And we're talking about far, far future.
Right. I agree. But I'm saying, should we actually be actively trying to get to that point where we create the tools that actually allow base layer transparency? If we assume that in 80 to 140 years, you know, there will be such a small set of people that will actually be able to afford to make a transaction.
Well, I think, you know, we differ on this one, I think, but like, I think privacy is good.
I don't think I've made up my mind 100%. I'm just, it's like, I think it's absolutely something to consider.
Going back to, the thing with like smaller blocks as kind of like a boost for the fee market, that almost feels like a bearish take to me. The fact that we need to do it, or that it would be like a prerequisite to boost the fee market. Like that seems like bearish on the fee market getting there on its own. Like if you were like a true bull, you would think that ordinals would do that for us.
Yeah. No, I
ordinals
absolutely...
are intentionally highly inefficient. Take a lot of block space to move ordinals around.
No, I think Bitcoin absolutely can sustain itself eventually, of course. I'm just saying I think it's actually more likely if like what would be the next changes? I think it's more likely that we actually would want to decrease the block size. It's easier to actually pull off, and I think we're more likely going to would rather smaller blocks than bigger blocks. Like we clear the mempool all the time. Like the mempool is constantly clear.
I think though, if you look at like long-term usage statistics, like basically Bitcoin usage has been up and to the right.
Yeah,
and we've got probably a few more halvings before it becomes really critical that we have a fee market, right? Like, I mean, we're at like 6.25. We can probably go down like a couple halvings, maybe. So like 10 years, like a decade.
I mean, how many more users will be able to hold at UTXOs though?
No, but we're just talking about development of the fee market.
Yeah.
Right? So in 10 years, are blocks going to be empty? I don't think so. I think in 10 years, blocks are going to be pretty full.
I agree. I'm just saying I think it's more likely that we will have a soft fork to restrict the block size than we would have a fork to increase the block size.
Sure.
That's all.
You said something about users aren't going to have their own UTXOs. Yeah, like so that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk scalability. Like, how are we going to scale to a billion users? We're not really in a position to do that now, right? So what's it going to take?
I mean, definitely second layer solutions. I mean, I think Lightning's fantastic, but it does have a lot of stuff that needs to be done to it, of course.
Yeah, but like, but even then, like, to open and close, like you got to do some amount of on-chain stuff.
Yeah,
like,
still sharing
UTXOs.
Can
we open enough channels? Yeah, sharing UTXOs, but like, can we open enough channels that like, you know, every person or like, you know, every family has like some channel of
not without batched opening channels. If we tried to open a channel for every citizen on the globe, it would take us like hundreds of years. I'm pretty sure.
I think probably not everybody is going to have their own UTXO.
No, I don't think that. It's just
not
necessarily
impossible.
Like, like having your own, being like, I mean, the word sovereign is like so corny, right? But being like a sovereign Bitcoin user where you control your own keys, like we're even if not everybody does that, increasing the number of people who are sovereign Bitcoin users is such a huge betterment, is way better than the current state of affairs where nobody is sovereign. Everybody's on a bank, everybody's on PayPal, right? The sovereign entities are like PayPal, not even Visa or MasterCard. They're just weird merchant networks, but like sort of the banks, you know, but they're subject to a lot of like regulations. So they're not even really independent actors. So I think just like, even if not everybody owns their own UTXO, if everybody's using like, you know, has their pick of different like custodial wallets that they can choose from. Obviously, I would like more people to have their own UTXOs.
But they need access to the inflation rate. That's the important thing.
The inflation rate?
Yeah, like you want, they want access to Bitcoin's monetary policy.
Yeah.
But they can get access to that without actually owning a UTXO, that which is possible.
Right.
I mean, you were talking earlier about like Fediments, and you know, there's like Chalmeen, you know, and there's Liquid, there's other federated solutions. I think Lightning makes a lot of sense and has a big push behind it. But I do think, yeah, I mean, opening a lot of channels will be difficult, but I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly not a scale. I would say scaling Bitcoin is one of the areas I know the least in. I've thought about it a lot, but it's just so complicated and really hard. So yeah, hard to say. I'm very bullish on Bitcoin. I'm just like, in terms of like, if I had to pick like mathematically which way I think we would actually go, I think it's more likely that we would lean towards smaller blocks than ever actually having bigger blocks personally.
Oh, I don't know. I think we're going to get to persistently full blocks and very high fees. And then I think that that's going to, I don't know if that's going to drive us towards bigger blocks, but I think it might drive us towards adoption of like great, more efficiency. So for example, like cross input signature aggregation, where all of the signatures in a Bitcoin transaction can be aggregated. And also things like, there's something called like half aggregation of signatures, where you could have all of the signatures in a block get aggregated and basically take up half as much space. Stuff like that. There probably is a lot of stuff that we can do before we make blocks bigger. But I think we're going to be like high fees, got to increase efficiency such that fees come down.
Yeah, I just think so much. It's like, it seems so much like very clearly it needs to be a layer two scaling solution, that any efficiencies made on the base layer will, like, you know, obviously exponentially help on second layer. But I would say generally the scaling Bitcoin model is off chain generally, right?
For sure. Yeah.
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 But obviously, you know, the on chain is what sets the whole shebang. So. Yeah, I don't know. Blocks, transparency.
What is Bitcoin community? What is Bitcoin culture missing? Like, what is there? Because like we're all
chicks.
Kind of like cultural. Yes, that's smaller what ordinals blocks. Are doing. Ordinal dad is bringing the ordinal chicks.
The ordinal hoes.
It's the only women dominated NFT implementation that I'm aware of.
I was in like a clubhouse or like a Twitter space or something, and I said something about like the women of ordinals, and then somebody was like, bro, I don't believe you. And I was like, if only you knew.
Yeah, and wasn't a friend of the Bay Area Bitcoiners, D++, wasn't she also in there? Did she corroborate you?
That's right. Yeah, she corroborated
me.
She
texted
was the one who said
about
something
it, yeah.
about like the women of ordinals. Yeah.
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 But honestly, I think that Bitcoin, I think that I would like Bitcoin to be something that lots of people feel good about adopting. And so I think that like fun and art is something that will help that. I think that like fun art existing on Bitcoin and there being like these really interesting, cool, like cultural things happening on Bitcoin will make people like it. I think that like art and NFTs.
Kanye getting into Bitcoin, it's going to be good for the culture. It's going to be good for the community. I don't know if good for the community, but like it's going to be.
Kanye ordinal NFTs.
Kanye ordinal NFTs, like a Yeezy drop that you can only buy with Bitcoin. Imagine what that would do.
Didn't Kanye do like a famous piece that was like, It was just like a piece of paper that he wrote on it, and it was like, "Don't ask me to make an NFT or something." Like he like released a, like a meta piece that was like, "Don't ask me to do that."
Did somebody We're make not an NFT ask of him. It?
He'll just I do it when so. He's ready.
I assume immediately it was an NFT. Yeah, like within minutes. Yeah.
I think the culture is moving in this direction already, but I think the culture needs to embrace more anti-government sentiment, like overall.
Mm. Which culture?
Love it.
Like the mainstream culture.
Yes.
I think like totally the mainstream, yeah. like yeah. everyone yes. kind of feels it, but I think people feel uncomfortable sort of like vocalizing that or like I think like, yeah, like people being like, fuck the government and like also like becoming educated on fiat and like feeling like the government is fucking them over more. Like, I think that is a good direction for the culture to go that will also increase Bitcoin adoption.
I think that's going to happen because I think
I think it's happening.
It is happening.
Right now, like everybody kind of hates the government, but they're not really like incentivized to hate the government.
They don't have, and they don't have a purpose to place it.
But then once you're holding Bitcoin bags, all of a sudden you're incentivized to hate the government. You're like, you know, I've got my bags, like fuck fiat, because like when fiat sucks more, like my bags get more valuable.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was funny when you were like, because I took the question as like, what does Bitcoin culture need more of? And so you were just right off the bat like, I think it needs more anti-state. And I was like, yeah, Bitcoiners do need to get more anti-state. Fucking statists.
No, no.
Fuckers. So yeah, but the sort of question, like, what does Bitcoin culture sort of need kind of, or culture?
Yeah, what
culture?
Does the community need? Like, what do like, what do like people need to like feel okay about it? Because I've seen some like think pieces lately that are like, oh, like Bitcoin culture has drifted more towards this kind of like and I say this without much disdain, like the kind of meat maxi thing. Look, I like beef.
Meat
like,
maxi.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that thing. And I don't know that that's actually like the dominant strain of Bitcoin. Not, I mean, we all go to a lot of conferences. Like we're friends with some of those people. But like, you know, like the actual people using Bitcoin, like even in America, like how much does that actually represent like what Bitcoin culture is? I think it's
just
as
Bitcoin
much
Twitter culture.
Bitcoin Twitter, and I'm not on Twitter, so I think I don't get that as much as
and
some
it's
of people.
Blog posting like stuff too. It's like there's a bunch of marketing companies that have you know pre-mined tokens funding them that are trying to shit on Bitcoin all the time. It's just like it's so tired. I think that this. There was a lot to talk about, I think, a little bit ago about like what is a Bitcoiner, what is maximalism, what, you know, is it ethical to do this, whatever. I think all these discussions have been had. And now it seems to be a way like very directly to like put down Bitcoiners. And Bitcoin maximalism, the term was coined to be that as like an insulting term.
It was reclaimed, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think so too. And now there's sort of this like attack on like Bitcoin fundamentalism and they're trying to like reestablish it as this like meat and God and bullet. And family thing, which like I like a lot of those things, but it's just if you're a Bitcoiner and you think you can like define what a Bitcoiner is, I think that's dumb.
This is what a Bitcoin maxi looks like.
Yeah, it's like and like also it's like bitches. We should hopefully all be people that you know like strong morals and strong beliefs kind of loosely held, so it's like there's a lot of stuff like a couple years ago I believed in pretty strongly that I like don't believe in at all anymore, and so it's just like I don't know, like eventually we're just going to be like moneyers Bitcoiners. It's just like
Bitcoin. Like, is there a culture of cell phones? Like, cell phones have completely won. We all use cell phones. Like, is there a culture of cell phones? No, they're just this neutral omnipresent tool. Is there a culture of light bulbs? Like, no, not really. Like, are there like light bulb maximalists?
But there are like internet cultural maximalists, kind of.
No, but what I mean is it's like
I agree
it's like
with you totally, but
Bitcoin is gonna recede from being something. Well, I mean, it's gonna like win.
I would argue Bitcoin is more political than those things.
I think we're gonna have like the politicality of Bitcoin will like increase.
I agree with that.
Until it kind of wins, and then it's gonna decrease. It's gonna be like, oh yeah, do you like money?
Yeah. Why do you have a t-shirt that says money on it?
Yeah, do you like t-shirts? Like, that's just a t-shirt. Everybody wears one, you know?
Right.
And that'll be the true like Bitcoin winning.
Yeah. But that's why I think the culture needs to embrace like anti-government sentiment more and just get on board, you know?
And just like, yeah, like, I mean, I don't want people to just like start like, you know, overdosing on red pills and like going on 4chan every night and just like doom pilling themselves. Like, I don't want you to do that. It's bad for you. And if you can't control or like your emotions reading like ridiculous shit all the time, then like, don't do it.
Yeah.
But also like, so much of this is a lie. And so much of this, we've just like seen these cycles of these narratives getting repeated by like elected officials or talking, you know, talking heads or whatever that are just so wrong. And like for the sake of people, yeah, I hope culturally people like, you know, sort of stop like buying it a little bit and like, and not in this doomer way, but in this like, hey, no, like, yeah, you like with a narrative, you can make something happen. And it's like, we can take a narrative and make something happen. Like, we can use their propaganda tools. We can use their organizational tools. And I say they very nebulously, like, I don't know, but we can use a lot of these things that we see that ourselves get manipulated. How many times, like, I've noticed things, I've been thought a certain way that I felt was something that came from like a very like specific narrative, you know? And I think just like learning that there's so many things that control, so many things that are so far beyond us that we have just like no imagination of what the hell is going on. Yeah. I think people should embrace that personally. I think Bitcoiners do a better job than anyone. And I think that's why I'm so like attracted to being around Bitcoiners, because they are open-minded to a lot of that stuff. Like people like laugh and they're like, oh man, like let's talk about like the NSA and with Mark or whatever. And it's like funny. It's not like this like, oh my God, he's like mentally ill. We want to talk about like some like, you know, some insane thing. It's just like fun, you know?
It's just wartime Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm into that, embracing all that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
If fiat fell apart and Bitcoin like kind of filled the void, that would be such a legible anti-state event. It would be such like, it would be so, so many people would see it and be like, huh, I guess like the government isn't like all powerful daddy that kind of ultimately has things under control. Yeah. I wonder what people, I wonder how government sentiment does in countries which have like runaway inflation. It seems like government, anti-government sentiment never really lasts or takes hold in a strong way, because they're just like, they become anti this government.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then like that government falls, and then a new government gets elected, and then they have faith in that government until then it fucks up.
It's ironic that it's a revolution. It's like there's this like built into revolution. The word
of it. Tone.
Exactly.
Each thing rises and it rises and it rises, and it never really seems to stop. I mean, also I think really deep like anti-government sentiment that has like kind of action backing it up, it's tiring. Like culturally, like, I think people just like their shit that they want to get back to, like, you know, like I've been meaning to watch The Sopranos for years now. Like I want to do other things.
During the start of lockdown. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Shall we?
I guess so.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's been real.
Any final messages or,
Shit's going to get weird.
Yeah.
It's going to get weird.
Yeah,
the dollar falling apart, if that happens, it's going to be fucking chaos.
Yeah.
Right? Like fucking bloodshed. Absolute carnage in the financial markets.
Yeah, I think tomorrow will be one of the more interesting days.
What's happening tomorrow?
Just the stock market opening after this weekend where we've seen, you know, historic currency collapse. I think tomorrow's going to be really interesting. But yeah, no, don't use any leverage. You should own some Bitcoin. And hold on.
No, go 100x long on BitMEX. No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Great. All right. Thanks for listening.
Catch you next time.